Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it was a long day, a couple of days, but happy the way that it transpired. I think we added some really interesting, good developmental players, some guys that can come in and help us right away, and some guys that, like, looking out, you know, I think we'll be looking back and saying, hey, these guys really helped our team.
So that's Eric DaCosta talking about some additions to the roster, and man, oh, man, they're going to need some help as between injuries and ineffectiveness. It's, what's the old saying, next man up? Well, as you heard Nolan in his very fiery update, they got a lot of dudes that aren't out there, including today, Kyle Hamilton, who hurt his groin near the end of yesterday's practice. He was listed as limited yesterday. Not out there today, so that would hurt a lot if he is not able to go. No Lamar Jackson, obviously, among others, though. Nate Wiggins back on the field. Who can step up as they have a game Sunday against Houston? Because the games don't stop for you.
Well, I think there's even more of a fine line on their rookies, and this is not ideal. I wouldn't have designed it this way, and they did design it this way because there's precious little depth at safety where they lost one and didn't really replace them, so they couldn't have their three safety packages ready to go for the start of the season, and there were plenty on the street, and they didn't want to spend any money there. And now Hamilton's dinged up too. So, I mean, Malachi Starks, good luck. You guys, who were you stumping for yesterday?
Reuben Lowry.
Yeah, you're going to get him.
I hope so. A lot of Jair, too.
He better step up. And then from the pass rush standpoint, they refused to build up any sort of stockpile of serviceable veterans besides Van Noy to bolster a lacking group. And now... Oway's playing some of his worst football ever, which is saying something. And if Van Noy plays, good luck. Good luck getting a whole lot out of him. And Mike Green's being called into question. He's being asked to do a lot of things that we didn't think he'd have to do this soon, and we didn't think it makes sense for him to do this soon, but it's not our roster. It's theirs, and that's where it stands. You know, this kid Peebles. I think it's a vanity pick. I thought it was too cute by half in real time. Said as much. Don't think he's built to hold up in there at this stage of his career, but
it's also a 6th round pick, so, like, you know, he's 6th round pick. I'm with you that they should have drafted one earlier, but 6th round pick. If he plays, he plays. Most of those guys don't make a roster eventually.
But it's
anyway.
The best, well, because it's supposed to be the best roster in the league.
Yeah.
Except, well, now he's playing.
Yeah.
So I mean, like. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to get in an I formation quite a bit and find out about the interior of this defense. And I think he's going to like what he finds. But somebody, you're asking me who's going to step up. Somebody's going to have to step up there. And unfortunately, again, for them, they're going to be asking more out of kids than they should be.
Yeah.
But they're their kids. And again, it's their roster. So I think it's. It's significant. Are either of their guards going to step up? Draft picks, pretty decent investment. They've got two guys who can rip your face off coming off the edge. We've seen what elite pass rushers have done to dismantle this offense, and that's when Lamar was out there to bail them out. So, like, I mean, they got a bunch of second and third year offensive linemen. Are any of them going to distinguish themselves in this game? Boy, if they don't, they're in trouble. I think they are getting unmasked in the trenches, and they're going to ask a lot of these kids to either be the last line of defense or the first line of defense. I mean, no Roquan, Who's wearing the dot? If it's no Roquan and no Hamilton and no Marlin.
Yeah.
Not that you'd really want a corner to wear it, but like, who's wearing the dot? Like, we used to talk about, you know, could anybody, you know, Patrick Queen used to prop Roquan up, not the other way around. And now it's like, well, Roquan's not a force multiplier. Roquan's a disaster on his own. And now not only do you have Roquan, like, who's going to prop up the novice middle linebacker who's replacing Roquan? Nobody. That's who. You didn't go out and get a veteran outside linebacker.
No.
So
had many opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, Buchanan and Trenton Simpson. Do I think they're going to step up? I think they'll try. Do I think they're put in an untenable situation? Probably.
Yeah. You obviously look on the defensive side of the football because that's where the bulk of these injuries occurred. But even prior to all of these injuries, Malachi Starks and they raved about him throughout the offseason, and rightfully so. It seemed like he really took on a leadership role despite being a young rookie. But we haven't seen any splash impact plays out of him yet, and he's given up 8 of 10 targets for 117 yards. Mike Green was dubbed the first-round talent if the off-the-field incidents didn't happen. That is not shown yet. He's got a 4.5% pressure rate. And look, these guys can be players at some point. No one's denying that, but that's what you get out of rookies. You just don't know because they haven't played at the NFL level. And honestly, guys, maybe a telltale sign that this defense maybe wasn't as good or deep as we thought was looking back at 3 undrafted kids making this roster. On the defensive side of the football alone, that doesn't happen that often for a Super Bowl caliber roster.
I'll tell you.
How much is their vanity, though?
Yeah.
How much of that is keeping a streak alive that they know damn well is intact?
You only need one to keep a streak. Yeah. Three is a lot. 3 is 3 times 1. 3 is a lot.
I'm not good at math, but that's
well, you don't time, think dude. They thought they had the best roster in the NFL? They certainly were telling a lot
they
of people
do.
Who cover this league for a living that they did, and they were buying it. So I think they banked on staying healthy, and they banked on how smart they are. They're not half as smart as they think they are, or they'd have more playoff success. And I think they thought they could get away with that because they could bring them along slowly, and we've got a great defense. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. But here's the – like, we're talking about day one, day two picks that the Ravens had that aren't living up to the expectations yet in this early season. But now, you're right. Some of these undrafted kids are going to get pressed into action. And some of them are already playing on special teams. And maybe if that injury is a thing, Lowry's going to get some time.
Yeah. And have we mentioned that we talked about it yesterday? Our old friend Jair Alexander is going to get a lot of time on Sunday as well, who he hasn't played since week one.
And he ain't a kid.
No. He's younger than you think.
Yeah.
Got old legs.
I'd love to know what the owner on his yacht is thinking right now. Like, I'd love to know in his heart of heart.
Do we know he's on the yacht?
It's a safe bet. That's a pretty safe assumption 85% of the time.
Okay. Might be at one of his homes.
I wonder what he's thinking and who pulled the wool over his eyes more. Is it the head coach or the GM? Who more oversold and underperformed through the first quarter of the season? Like, I wonder.
Well, if anything, Harbs was trying to manage expectations.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Who he thinks.
There's
I wonder
your answer.
Who he thinks is more the culprit.
I think Bone cracked the code. Harbs was like, Super Bowl or bust. That's
trying
ridiculous.
To manage expectations.
You foofs never played the game. Super Bowl or bust.
That's fine what he said. You don't think the owner thought that they had a shot at the
Super
Bowl?
Yeah, but you said who pulled the wool over. Your question was who pulled the wool over. He's answering your question.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the owner. I mean, the head coach sold him on Zach Orr. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The head coach in cahoots with the GM doesn't want to draft any players. The head coach convinces him Chuck Smith can turn anybody into pass right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of nonsense that's been going on around here for a while when it comes to the underbelly of this defense, which is they don't affect the quarterback enough from the first and second levels of their defense.
Hey, you guys, we talked about how lucky they were injury-wise a year ago, and this is from Bill Barnwell, who we love. Ravens starters missed a total of 7 games all last season. The entire year, offense and defense combined. They're going to be down 7+ starters this game.
That's the real world.
Yep.
They were historically healthy last year. It was, I think, one of the healthiest teams in the past 20 seasons. They were historically healthy, and that there's no carryover from that.
Massive Thursday show when we hear from Monk. I can't wait to hear from Monk. We got an edition of Monkey Business into the show as he's been getting kicked in the nads by his boss all week, or at least on Monday. We can't wait to hear that. But guest-wise, MLB playoffs continue. Game threes, 3 of them for the first time today. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be on the call for one of them, Padres Radio, but he's kind enough to join us at 2:30. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. By the way, Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey MLB Insider. Brian Baldinger, are the Ravens broken? We'll ask him at 3. Lucy Burge from DraftKings. She'll have her best bets and nonsense at 4 o'clock. And Andy Koska, he, of course, covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Banner. How's he feel about those press conferences on Monday and the Orioles going into the offseason? He'll tell us at 4:30.
Burge is not... I thought Burge would jump on a train and be down in the Bronx. No?
No.
No Burge in the Bronx?
Burge on TV.
It's got to be ALDS or later.
That's
it's not wild card.
I could see that.
She's big time in the wild card realm?
I could see that.
Well, we can ask her that.
Yeah.
Winner go home game, no Burge in the house?
She's waiting for the real deal.
Yeah. Coming up next, though. Ravens met with the media yesterday. We'll hear from Harbs. We'll hear from Mark Andrews. Maybe a little Tavius Robinson as well next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
Yeah, definitely. He's getting closer. Will he be ready this week or not? We'll see. But we're measuring that stuff, and I practiced today. So I would say the answer to that is yes.
Since there's so many, let's play a game. Who was Harbs talking about there?
I don't know.
We
got a 1-in-14 yeah. chance.
Exactly. He's talking about Jair Alexander.
Okay.
Who we expect to play on Sunday.
He's playing.
He's playing a lot, most likely.
He's playing. I don't know about a lot.
I don't know if they have a choice.
He gets picked on a couple times early. That might be the end of that.
We're going to Keon
he's
Martin.
On the team.
Yeah.
Jason, they played
he's
him more
on
in the
team.
Yeah, I'm hear you. If he's healthy, he better get his rear end out there. Whether he's healthy or not is a debatable.
How telling is it that we're talking about people need to step up and no one, we're 2 segments in and no one even mentioned Ajabo?
I know.
What a suck cost that is. It's a second round pick from just a few years ago who does the thing that they're most deficient in.
Well,
at least did.
He allegedly
did. At Ann Arbor, he did it.
Yeah, and then once the injuries kicked in, he hadn't been like.
Jason, if Van Noy didn't get hurt, he still wouldn't have played his first snap.
Yeah, but everybody's hurt, and we still aren't even mentioning him.
I saw him chasing
yesterday. We're talking about 4th-string safeties, and then Ajabo doesn't even come up.
I saw him chasing on a play on Sunday. He does not get involved at the first level ever.
He scratched the first 2 weeks.
He's terrible, unfortunately. I would have loved to have seen what he looked like if he never got hurt. Alas, the Ravens would have never drafted him if he never got hurt.
Nobody appreciates pass rush like sunglasses at night.
Let's hear one more from Harbs before we get to Mark Andrews. And here's Harbs talking about 2 guys that I think are going to see the field on Sunday, Keaton Mitchell and Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, those are Tyler Huntley. Well, Tyler Huntley, yeah, if Lamar's down, Tyler will be up. As far as Keaton, and yeah, there's a chance of that as well.
I think both all these right. guys, I think there will be a package for Tyler Huntley, and Keaton Mitchell will finally see the field on Sunday.
I think so. All the running backs, not necessarily all the wide receivers. It's pretty simple math.
Yeah, Harbs has brought up Tyler Huntley on multiple occasions, even without being solicited.
Subterfuge. It could be that. They want everybody. Hey, this is a six. This was a six-string alternate Pro Bowl quarterback. They want D'Amico Ryans up at night wondering about the Snoop package.
Hey, the Pro Bowler,
sixth alternate. Yeah, that's what it is. Pro Bowler.
He played in that. Can't take that away from him. That's on the wiki page forever. Mark Andrews spoke.
Be careful. Wiki is not all true.
Yeah. But we saw it with our eyes, Jason. Mark Andrews.
Sharky got banned from Wiki.
What's that?
Sharky got banned from Wikipedia.
What did he do?
He kept changing.
You know how like Rocco likes Josh Lowe?
Yes.
He kept putting like
bad
like,
stuff.
Like not PG-13 rated stuff on Josh Lowe's wiki and then taking a screen cap and sending it to Rocco. Oh. And then he got banned from Wiki. Mm.
How do they find out who
they
did
have a URL. Oh, they find out who's they're doing
IP
the editing.
Address.
Yeah, they're on it.
He was warned several times.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like first offense gone. It's kind of like when he got banned from PlayStation for cussing on the, cussing while you're playing people. Not everybody likes that. Yeah. I kind of feel like you put a headset on, you play a random person in anything, in video games, you should expect to get cussed at.
It can get really
It comes
bad,
with the
though.
Territory.
Oh, isn't can, YouTube can, full of people yelling and cursing? Really but,
yeah. Oh, he got banned for a while.
Mark Andrews spoke yesterday.
I think Madden banned him.
Here's Mark Andrews talking about the team willing to fight with or without Lamar.
That's a challenge. You know, it's obviously type of player and leader that Lamar is and how much he means to us. The beautiful thing is that we got a lot of fighters in this group and a deep organization with a ton of players that are going to step up and make plays. And I just got a lot of faith and trust in the guys.
I don't know if I saw a lot of fighting on the defensive side of the football.
I'm waiting for people to start fighting. Next thing's going to be, I'm waiting for Monk to fall off and hit Harms. Yeah. That's going to be the next fight. Monk's going to untuck that play sheet and
smack
you've
him
only got like death by a thousand paper cuts. I bet if you got somebody in
that would hurt.
You got somebody across the neck with that thing?
It's sharp.
It's going to be a cut.
Yeah. More from Mark
Maybe
Andrews. The offensive group needing to stay effective and dialed in.
You know, just staying efficient, I think, is the biggest thing. You know, I think at times we're moving the ball extremely well. And, you know, for us, it's just, you know, staying on track. And that's everybody. You know, there's, you know, things all over the field that are just, you know, limiting our success. And I think for us, just dialing in, doing our job, focusing, and good things will happen and we'll be more efficient that way.
It's easy to say that. I don't know if good things are going to be happening offensively this Sunday against the Houston Texans. But you can say it into existence and hope it happens.
I think Cooper Rush will probably be throwing some balls this guy's way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe get Isaiah Likely
involved.
I mean,
you look at all those like 8 to 12 yard catches he was getting from Lamar lately. I think that's going to be a go-to type situation. I also think there'll probably be a pick involved thrown to him because their linebackers are pretty active, and I think it's going to be a little bit telegraphed at times where it's going.
They got to win on first down. They got to get to second and third and manageable because this offense, it's had way too many third and long situations through the first four games with Lamar Jackson. If you have third and long consistently with Cooper Rush, that's going to spell trouble and that could spell turnovers.
More from Mark Andrews says Cooper Rush is equipped for this opportunity.
He's a pro's pro. You know, he really, you know, dove into this offense, you know, understands it extremely well, you know, so, you know, he's going to know, you know, he's going to be on his P's and Q's. He's going to know what to do. And, you know, I know he's fired up for the opportunity to, you know, go show what he's all about. And, you know, there's a reason why he's been in the league for 9 years. I think it is now. He's a really good player.
He's a pro's pro, Jason. And he's a guy we advocated for. Unfortunately, as we talked about earlier in the week, we thought if we saw Cooper Rush, it would be a little later in the season. They'd be sitting at like 5-2. And you're like, just keep it afloat until Lamar gets back. This is a different situation for Cooper Rush.
No, this is pretty bad. I mean, maybe not as bad as Dylan Gabriel getting no snaps in a compromised week while we fly to another continent to play a football game against an angry defense.
Yeah, with an even worse team.
With nothing to hang your hat on as an offense in your first NFL start. It's not that, but it ain't good.
No, it's not good. One more from Mark Andrews. How about getting Isaiah Likely back in the offense?
Yeah, he looked great. You know, he was flying around, you know, made some really big plays, some big blocks, and, you know, picked up like where he left off. So he's going to be a big part of this offense and what we do as a team, and, you know, played really well, and we're going to be able to open that up and expand that with him, and it's going to look really good.
Everybody's gaslighting us now. Like, we got a fake GM search going on. We got a fake manager search going on. Adley's amazing, best defensive catcher in the league, and he's the ultimate leader. We got Harb's destroying the offensive coordinator who's actually doing his job. Like, we got it's amazing. We got sunglasses at night with a stylist on the on the sidelines. What is going on in this town?
Is it possible?
I don't even think Isaiah Likely should have been up for that game.
Is it possible that he looked good running? Like, he was out there. Like, he didn't have a target, but
he
maybe
mentioned good blocks.
Maybe, yeah, maybe he looked good.
Because that's what he's, that's why Isaiah Likely, that's what he adds to the offense is maybe blocking.
Mark Andrews was talking about his blocking against Buffalo.
Yeah,
when he wasn't catching any balls, Even though they scored in that one, what, 50 points and 40 plays without him?
One more before we step out. Tavius Robinson spoke yesterday, and he talked about his belief the defense will make adjustments that work.
Yeah, no, we're definitely not pleased with that at all. But again, it's about correcting mistakes. I think everything is very correctable. So again, it started today in correcting that and just coming out and getting better and focusing on the small details.
Here's the thing that we're going to Tavius Robinson for answers is something.
Well, yeah, because then there's a lot of guys who are hurt, They're dinged up, so they don't have.
Well, he was at the podium, I think.
Yeah, this was Tavius Robinson.
They're running out of healthy bodies who've played more than five games in the NFL. I know how they could fix it. I know a way where they could undo their problems and everything, like he's talking about. If you just could find a DeLorean and go back in time and like draft some D linemen in the draft, like do the draft over and then do the offseason over and add two veteran pass rushers.
Yeah.
Then I think they could fix it.
That's possible. Alas, no.
I don't really know if it's possible.
It's a theory. I think Back to the Future is a true story.
As amazing as Sashi is, I don't think he could pull that off.
Here's what I can tell you. If I'm to believe that there's a real GM search going on, I can also believe that the DeLorean can take me back.
There you go.
So
that's fair.
Yeah. Coming up next, so MLB playoffs continue. Three elimination games today. Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey MLB Insider.
Is that Wrigley Field?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, he is. For the first time ever in this format, we have three Game 3 elimination games in the wild card round. It's perfect time to head up to Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Tony, I assume you're already at Wrigley Field where the Padres will be playing at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So, how are you feeling about, let's start there, how are you feeling about the Padres, Yu Darvish on the bump for San Diego?
I feel good about Yu. I think he's thrown the ball a lot better his last five starts. And if there's any kind of evidence that he can come out here today and have a good game, I think we've seen in the last five games, kind of similar to the way we saw Dylan Cease throw the ball well. Mm-hmm. Down the stretch and come out yesterday and really put together, you know, three and two-thirds innings of good baseball, good pitching.
Tony, both the Cubs and the Padres bullpens have been taxed through these first two games, no off days, of course. Which bullpen are you worried more about holding up today?
I think the Padres bullpen is deeper. I think they have more guys. Now, the question I think would be, how much trust does Mike Schilt and Ruben Neal have in those guys? Because there's certainly in terms of stuff-wise, I think the Padres have the advantage in terms of arms. But as you mentioned, you know, Adrian Mordejon has gone back-to-back days. Mason Miller has gone back-to-back days. Not only have they gone back-to-back days, they've gone multiple innings. And so I assume those guys will be available for a short stint, if so. But I do think the Padres have the advantage in terms of the depth of their bullpen.
Were you guys surprised the Cubs handled game two the way they did? And obviously, right, Steele's been out a long time. Then the kid Horton goes down. But were you surprised they went with Kittredge and then Imanaga? Like, what were sort of the Padres thinking about the way the Cubs sort of approached that game?
Jason, I'll tell you, I think I was surprised. You know, we had heard that that was how they were going to go in. But, you know, when Counts kind of announced that that's the way they were going, I was surprised. I thought it spoke a lot to how they felt about Imanaga and how he finished the season.
Yeah.
They clearly were trying to avoid the Tatis and Machado matchup early. And, you know, the irony is that it ended up putting up a run anyway without him being out there. So, I was a little bit surprised, but it sounds like everybody's got their playbook fully open and willing to go any route.
We're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr.'s Inside Access here on The Fan. Tony, let's stay in the National League. Dodgers took care of business against the Reds. So how do you see this matchup with the Dodgers and Phillies, which starts on Saturday?
Yeah, this is going to be a great one. I think these two teams match up very well against one another. I think I would give the leg up to the Phillies. Yeah. I think their starting pitching is just better. It's just better than pretty much everybody else in the tournament. The question will be what the Dodgers are going to do about that bullpen. They've been able to kind of navigate not having to worry about it in these first two games as they took care of business offensively. But as you start to face better starting pitching, those runs aren't going to be as easy to come by. You know, I don't know if you're going to see an eight spot put up against the Philadelphia team with this starting pitching. And so I think it's going to boil down to how the Dodgers can put runs up against the Philly starters and maybe be able to dictate how they kind of use their bullpen from that point on.
And a lot was made of the Dodgers' issues with, well, look, they had no starting pitchers, right? They ran out of starting pitchers. They were trying whatever to patch it up, and the bullpen was a problem all year. But I also feel like, Tony, they were, the other underlying problem with them is that they were kind of no-shows on the road. Like, they didn't travel that well. Like, they beat up on the Rockies, but they were not a good road team, and now they're growing cross-country against a team with a serious playoff pedigree in an environment that is a pretty riotous playoff baseball environment. I just wonder if it's as simple as Phillies hold serve and you know what I mean? They keep being who they are at home, and the Dodgers keep being who they are on the road, and that's enough to end their season.
That very well could be the case, but I will throw this in there. The fact that Mookie Betts is a different guy right now than he was really at all season long, I think changes the offensive outlook for the Dodgers, even when they're on the road. And you got a guy like Mookie Betts hitting, you know, 250 throughout the course of the season. That's going to make you kind of an average Joe when you go on the road. But when you got a guy who's swinging the bat as hot as he is right now, and you go on the road, that is a weapon. It is a weapon in the same way it is for the Padres to have Manny Machado. And so I think he can maybe change the way that has looked throughout the course of the year. But you're right, the Dodgers just haven't played well on the road really all year. They'll have to change their fortune here in this series against Philly.
Let's get to the first game of today, Tony. Tigers taking on the Guardians. The Guardians broke through in the eighth inning yesterday, but boy, the Tigers had plenty of opportunities, man. 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. How do you see that game playing out today?
That's been a great series. I mean, a lot of opportunity, both sides. You mentioned the Guardians able to kind of blow that game open yesterday. Richard, those teams are so well matched up, it's going to come down to one of those type of deals. If you're not capitalizing on opportunities in the postseason, you're generally going to lose those games. You just can't leave them out there as often. Now, I've seen it here in this Padres series. They lose game one virtually because they couldn't get a runner in from third less than two outs twice, and they lose by two. And so those small things come this time of year really determine the outcome. I think it'll be no different in that game, Guardians and Tigers.
Tony, let's finish this round. Of course, the nightcap tonight, and that's the Yankees hosting the Red Sox. Two young pitchers starting in this game. Who do you like in this one?
I like the Yankees. I do. I thought their energy yesterday with Rice and Chisholm back in the lineup seemed to kind of, you know, accelerate things for them in that ball game. And so I imagine that same energy is going to be. I like the young starter for the Yankees a little bit better. He's got a heavy fastball, and I just like the way the Yankees have bounced back that second game. I think they got the momentum.
Three games today, including Padres at Cubs. That's a 5 o'clock Eastern start. You can watch on ESPN. I heard Tony, you guys on the MLB Network radio driving home yesterday. The end of Cubs and Padres game two. So look forward to hearing a little of that again tonight. Tony Gwynn Jr., thank you as always for your time.
You guys have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger is the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Coming up next, all the young dudes. And we've been talking for a long time, and so have players that have left, players that are still here, that this team needs leadership. But nah, that's not what Tony Manzalino had to say at the press conference on Monday. Does this team have internal leaders? We'll hear what he had to say and comment next here on The Fan. Orioles, they got a managerial search to get to, a general manager search that they'll get to at some point, I guess. But what about leadership on the roster? And we've heard Ryan O'Hearn comment on this once he got dealt. Cedric Mullins commented on
Sagano.
Even Jordan Westberg commented on lack of leadership. Here's what Tony Manzalino had to say about it at the presser on Monday.
You know, we love veteran players and we love great leaders. It's hard to predict what's going to be here and what isn't. What we can predict is that Gunnar and Westberg and Bradish and likely Dean and all these guys, Adley, they're going to be here next year. And those guys all have the makings to be great leaders, and those guys have all won here in the big leagues. So do we invite more veteran players and more veteran leadership? Without a doubt. Do we think we also have some growing leaders and guys that can kind of take that part or that necessity and move it forward for us? Absolutely.
So, a couple things. Number one, I'm not in the clubhouse like I was years ago when I covered the team, but I don't see any outward signs that these guys are leaders, A. And B, while they've won a lot of regular season games, they've won as many playoff games as you, the three of us combined. So, it sounds like a little bit of fan fiction.
He also went on to say there's wonderful leadership stuff that we don't see behind closed doors or whatever. And we bring this up because he's on record. He wants the job. He thinks he deserves the job. He patted himself on the back for the job he did. And he's only saying things that Elias wants to hear. So when I hear this, that tells me, and he's probably already interviewed for this job. Like, he's been in communication while he's been working as this team president's handpicked manager for 4 months now. Like, that tells me they're not. There's not going to be a Bregman or anything like that in the middle of this lineup. And they're already setting the stage for why they don't have to do it. But it is, again, it is fan fiction. It is ridiculousness. It is gaslighting you when we've seen, and Gunnar is opined on this, we've seen so many different guys in their own way while they were here or when they went elsewhere opine about the fact that they've never replaced McCann. They never replaced Hicks. They were too scared to bring a Tommy Pham or somebody like that into this clubhouse. Like, I don't think Elias is changing a damn thing. And I think another reason I think Manzalino's getting the job, you're gonna tell me that a Bruce Bochy or a Bob Melvin wouldn't study up on this organization. You don't think they're talking to Brandon Hyde? You don't think they're talking to Freddie Gonzalez, who we had on this show, come out and say we didn't have leaders then, and we knew we didn't have leaders then, and we begged them to get a leader from the outside, and they refused, and we got Eloy Jimenez instead? So, like, this is all very telling and very important, because they are sending signals to the marketplace about what they are and aren't looking for and who they want to be and what they're willing to do and how much they really want to change. And my overriding takeaways from listening to these two buffoons each go for almost an hour is that they don't want to change much at all. They want to give lip service to soul searching. They want to send out the talking points that are going to make you think something's changed. But when they get down into the micro of leadership, of lineup, of core, of Adley, of injuries, I don't think much is changing.
Well, it's so clear that they need a veteran presence.
Not to them.
With all due respect, James McCann and Aaron Hicks, those are role players. Like, they need an actual veteran.
But that's as good as it got around here. They can't even replace them.
Yeah, Adam Frazier.
Like, those are
They went from that to O'Neal and Sanchez. That tells you how little they know about roster construction.
Those are role players. And you mentioned Freddy Gonzalez. He said it. All the players that left. And Danielle Allentuck, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner, she put out yesterday an anonymous Orioles player survey, which I thought was very interesting. And this player won. One of the questions was, what major area do you think needs to be addressed by the front office this winter? Player one, I think we need a veteran presence. And then they were asked later on in the article, does the team need an outside veteran leader added? And all four of the players that were interviewed said yes. And player one, his response throughout the season, when we were on a bad stretch, there wasn't a veteran presence who would kind of like step up and voice their concerns or kind of lead the way. I think veteran presence brings in experience, and that says a lot to the team.
They've been crying for help in their own way about this for three seasons now. And they refuse to believe them. They refuse to validate them. They refuse to acknowledge there's a flaw in their scouting process. And none of them are really, really alphas, not even Gunnar. None of them are going to grab someone by the throat and shake them up and change the course of a season when it needs. They're just not wired that way. I think they're eager to be led by the right person, but then you got to go out and spend real money to get someone who has an established pedigree, who you think's going to give you 650 plate appearances, not, oh, be a part of this platoon and we'll get you on the cheap and you only got to you only got to bat 250 times. No, no, no. And I don't think they have any intention of doing that.
Well, they've not shown us any signs that that's who they want to be ever. Like, we have now, since the quote-unquote rebuild ended.
Since liftoff?
Yeah, since liftoff. That's 3 years of off-seasons and trade deadlines, and they've not brought. We've been begging them. I bring this up a lot when this topic comes up. John Smoltz came on with us right after the Orioles got swept by the Rangers, and he talked about how important it was for that Braves team that had all those young guys. And he mentioned, yeah, but Terry Pendleton and Sid Bream, those were guys that had been there before, been to the playoffs before, knew what it was like, and they helped us through the tough times. That was 3 years ago. We talked to John Smoltz about this. They don't listen to any of that.
The Yankees had a legitimate young core, right? When they had Bernie Williams and Posada and Jeter. But they're going out and getting Charlie Hayes and people like that.
Paul O'Neill,
like,
they brought in.
It's not rocket science. No. It's really not as hard as they've made it, but they're so stuck in and they're so stubborn. And what did that get them? It got them all raises. It got them all more money. It got them all more security. If you think it's changing now, you're a fool.
But don't you think, and maybe I am a fool, but don't you think if they...
They've been fooling you for way longer than they stopped fooling me a long time ago.
I hear you. If they're bad again next year, it could get them fired.
He's getting them fired with two or three more guarantees left on his... You know what? They're in it for the money and they're in it for the power. They got more of both.
I don't think Mike gets fired if they have a losing record next year. See, I really don't. And gosh, I'm forgetting who we had on talking about... When he got the promotion... I think it was Brett Giroli. He got probably another 3 or 4 years. And I asked her the question, multiple other people that week. Like, I think this takes the pressure off Mike.
He's not changing a damn thing.
And he already won. And Ken, not to mention the looming lockout. Yeah. You're going to want to fire someone and then enter that. Like, even if you know what hits the fan again next year, I think Mike's safe.
And these owners are cheap. They're cheap, pathetic billionaires until they prove me otherwise. They've done great with getting a lease somebody else did. They've done great with getting our tax money to fix up our stadium that they are now the proprietors of.
Moving the press box.
Yeah, they're butchering the stadium again. They're making it worse for most fans. They couldn't even handle their raise of ticket price at a time when fewer people are interested in their product than they've been in a long time the right way. Oh, and they're telling you their business operations people are going to have his hand in baseball operations and picking a new manager.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, if that doesn't make you want to... Katie Griggs, boy, she's got more power than ever. Dig deep in your pockets for those frauds.
Coming up next, are the Ravens broken? We'll ask Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. He joins us next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.